Well, good morning, everyone. We are continuing our study of the path of Peter in the book of Luke, chapter 21. This path that Peter must take, just as Jonah must run from the Lord when the Lord told him to go to Nineveh and preach to the Ninevites. He ran from the Lord just as he had to do so. That was his path. Peter must walk this path that he is about to go, that he is on, to come to that point where he writes the two epistles, 1st and 2nd Peter, of which we will get to at some point. But our text right now is in Luke chapter 21, and we'll be looking at verses 7 and 8. But first, let's recall the chosen of God do not come by making a decision. Our Lord didn't walk by the seaside with Peter and said, "Hey, I got a gospel over here I need you to hear. Come with me if you would." No. He walked by those men of the sea and he said, "Follow me." And they got up immediately and followed him. There was no ifs, ands, or buts about it. God's word comes with authority, folks. And when he speaks to the heart of men, they react exactly as such. Peter did not make a decision one day saying, "I'm going to start following Jesus. Today is the day where I'm going to put all that foolishness behind me and now I'm going to follow him." The people of God must be given a new heart. We must be brought to see what our natural heart is in the presence of God. And this is what Jeremiah says about the natural heart of men. He says, inspired by God Almighty, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" That's God's word. Our Lord said, "You must be born again." Plain and simple. No, you might be born again, you could be born again, but ye must be born again, saith the Lord. With that in mind, look again, if you would, with me to verses 7 and 8, please. Chapter 21, verse 7. "And they asked him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be?" These things that he had just described a few moments ago, back in verses 6. "As for these things which ye behold, the days come in which they shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." And this is speaking about the temple of God that was there in Jerusalem. "And they asked him," again in verse 7, "saying, Master, but when shall these things be? And what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? And he said, Take heed that ye be not deceived. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. And in the time draweth near, go ye not therefore after them." And I pause for a moment. I want that to sink in. This is God's word, folks. This is not an interpretation of man and what I think this means. This is God's word. Our Lord says, "Take heed that ye be not deceived. For many shall come in my name." Everyone wants to know when the end of the world will be. Isn't that so? I fall into that very camp myself at times. And I have to be reminded our Lord does not reveal when the end of the world is. We've all joked around at one point or another, or even maybe had serious conversations. Bill and I have had jokingly conversations, "Will our Harleys still leak oil when we get to heaven?" You know, Harleys leak oil. Got the joke? Okay. But notice that our Lord Jesus Christ completely passed over the question. These are questions to which no answer can be found, because God has hidden the answer. Our Master refused to indulge them in their vain curiosity about prophecy. And I heed to you, folks, I heed to you. We would be wise to do the same. Notice instead that he turned them to a matter that ought to be of great concern to us all. Especially in these times that you and I walk in, when fear is being pressured in the world. Our leaders, our so-called media, they have everybody up in fear. And there's some things to be fearful of, absolutely. We don't want to take this, we don't want to not take this seriously, what's going on. But you can go too far with fear. Notice our Lord turned these men to a matter that many false Christs are in the world today, by whom multitudes are deceived. There are many false Christs being preached in the name of the true and living God, just as there were in the days of the apostles. We read in 2 Corinthians 11, verses 3 and 4, Paul writes to them, the Corinthians, he says, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted by the simplicity that is in Christ." From the simplicity that is in Christ. "For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him." That's Paul's warning. This is not just a warning for those days. This is a warning that goes throughout all of time, as long as God has people walking on this earth. God is speaking to you and I just as he spoke to the people of that time. This is a letter from God to us, to all his people, all his children who were bought and paid for by his blood on the Christ, on the cross. In Galatians 1, verse 6 through 9, we read this: "I marvel," Paul says to the Galatians, "that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into grace of Christ unto another gospel." Paul calls it another gospel, "which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ." One more verse. First John 4 verses 1 through 3. "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of the Antichrist, wherefore ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world." Even now, when John is writing, there were false Antichrist in the world. Of these false Christs, of these false Antichrists, we must beware. Hold your place and turn back to the book of Matthew, if you would. Matthew chapter 24. Look at verses 3 and 4 with me, if you would. "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Notice that Matthew records it in the same way. "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, and see ye be not troubled, for all these must come to pass, but the end is not yet." Now turn over to, and I look over at verse 23. "Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not, for there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible," and this is the important part of this verse right here, "insomuch that if it were possible." Folks, it's not possible to take us out of God's hands. If our Lord and Savior went to the cross and shed his blood for us, do you think for one second he's going to let us go? That precious blood of God was shed for his people. That's our assurance. That's our only assurance. Insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Don Fortner wrote this about that very thing. Turn back to Luke chapter 21 if you'd like. Fortner writes, "The plain fact is there are many false Christs, many antichrists by whom the souls of men are deceived and damned. I want to be charitable," he says, "kind and gracious as I can. But charity, kindness, and grace will not allow me to be silent while immortal souls are deceived and God's glory is trampled beneath the feet of men. If you trust a false Christ, you cannot be saved in any more than you could be saved by trusting a tadpole. We are called of God to trust, love, follow, and obey the true Christ and Him only. Salvation is promised to none but those who trust the true Christ. Therefore, we are warned in our text, take heed that no man deceive you. We must take heed to the teachings of Holy Scriptures, lest we be deceived by some false Christ." Folks, we all know about the Christ of liberals. He's a social do-gooder, of course, and we are told he is not God. We also know about the Christ of various cults. He is represented to us as a good man, a prophet, a teacher of morality, the first and the greatest creation of God, maybe, or even a sort of a secondary God. But the Christ of the cults is never represented as the true and eternal God. Plain and simple, God does not save using lies. He saves by speaking the truth. We know about the Christ of Roman Catholics, the Papists. They profess that Jesus Christ is God, and that He came into the world as a man, and that He suffered the wrath of God as a substitute for sinners. They teach that He died and was buried and was rose again the third day. He ascended back into heaven, just as you and I teach these very things, and that He is coming again. But the Christ of Romanism is not a complete Savior. The Christ of Rome cannot save sinners without their own good works, the intercessions of priests, and the sacraments of the church. The Christ of Rome is not the Christ of the Bible. These are as plain as the nose in our face that you and I can see, but there's another. There's another Christ who comes dressed in white, dressed in what He calls the righteousness of God. This false Christ is much more dangerous than any of the antichrists that we've just spoken of. There's a false Christ by whom the souls of men have been deceived for years, even in the days of Luke and Matthew. And they've been deceived, whom millions have been, and millions are being deceived this very day. The fact is, the vast majority of those who profess faith in Christ are followers of this false Jesus, who will ultimately lead them to eternal ruin. There are two types of people that our Lord will address in the end of days, in the end of time, in the day of judgment. He will say to those, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, for I have never known you." Think about that. Ye workers of iniquity. And then there will be those whose iniquities were laid on His Son. My iniquities laid on His Son. Those who will hear these words, "Come, thou faithful servant." There's no faithfulness in me. My faithfulness is in my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There are many today, folks, who stand in Christian churches all over this world or sit and listen to one who stands and talks about a Jesus who wants to save them. A Jesus who's waiting for them to do something. And here's the thing. You and I could be right there in that camp. And some of us were. The Christ of Arminian free will works religion is a false Christ, and all who trust him are lost. The Christ of Arminian free will works religion is extremely dangerous, because in many ways it appears to be the true Christ. The free willers and the work mongers of this age tell us that Christ is the true God in every way, equal to the Father and the Holy Spirit. They even assert that he saves by grace alone, without the works of man. They insist that good works play no part in their salvation. The devotees of this Christ will have nothing to do with the Christ of liberals that we just spoke of a moment ago, or the cults, or the papists. But our Lord says, take heed that no man deceive you. Do not be fooled. The Christ of Arminian free will works religion is not the Christ of the Bible. He is a false Christ, and all who trust this false Christ are lost also. Be sure you understand what the issue is. It's not how much you know. I've had many men come to me and say, John, you need to learn this. John, you need to do this. People of my own family who said, how dare you stand before others and preach Christ? You have never even read the whole Bible yet. It's not about what we know. It's about who we know. Our Lord doesn't say, whosoever comes to me, whosoever learns of me. He says, whosoever believeth in me. Well, who are the whosoever? Those are those who God has given the faith to believe. It's a gift. It comes from God. It's who must I know. Turn over to John chapter 17, if you would, for just a moment. You might want to hold your place there in Luke. I think I'm going to come back to it. I'm not sure. But turn over to John for just a moment, if you would. Chapter 17. John chapter 17. If I can get my fingers to flip through the pages, there we go. Look at verse 3. It's not what you know, it's who you know. And this is life eternal. The Lord God Almighty in the flesh, speaking to his people, to you and I, right this moment. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I tell you, the answer to the question is plainly stated right there. We must know the true God and the true Christ. Don Fortner makes 5 comparisons of false Christ to the modern religion that we have in today's world. The religion of Arminian free will works religion. The first one he refers to is the Christ of modern free will works religion loves everyone in the universe and wants to save them. We are told that the Christ loves all men alike, desires the salvation of all men alike, and is gracious to all men alike. That makes the love, the will, and the grace of Christ helpless and useless. However, that language cannot be applied to the Christ of the Bible. For the true Christ, the Christ of the Bible, the saving Christ, loved his people, wills and prays for the salvation of his people, and is gracious to his people, the people unconditionally chosen unto salvation from eternity past, whom he came to save. I've got several verses that I could give to you as a list for that, and anyone who wants them after services, I'll be happy to give. Secondly, he says this, the Christ of modern free will works religion tries to save everyone. We are told that he offers salvation to every sinner, and he does everything that he can to save them all. But that his offer is rejected and his work is frustrated by the will of those who refuse to come to him and be saved. The Christ of the Bible does not merely offer salvation, he performs it. His name is Jesus, for he shall save his people. Is that what the Word of God says? Grace is not an offer. It's an operation. The Son of God effectually calls to himself all of his elect. He calls with power his sheep, and he sovereignly works salvation in them by the irresistible power and the grace of his Holy Spirit. Not one of them will be lost. Is this or is it not the teaching of Holy Scriptures? All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. That's God's word. Thirdly, false Christ, Arminianism, Christianity cannot regenerate and save anyone who does not first choose to be saved by him. We are told that man has a free will, but that Christ's will is bound by and must wait upon man's will, because it would not be right for him to violate man's will. The true saving Christ does violate man's imaginary free will, and I am thankful for that. My free will ran loose every Sunday in the Harley, running around, doing whatever, watching football, whatever, but by God's will, he arrested my will and brought me into this building one day. Is God's will today possibly bringing someone here who's never heard that before? The same is true of each of us. Our Lord sovereignly regenerates and saves every chosen, redeemed sinner. His operations of grace are totally independent of the will or the choice of a sinner. Apart from his work of grace in us, spiritually dead sinners never would or could believe on him and come to him in faith. Faith is not our contribution to the work of salvation. Our faith in Christ is the result of his salvation. Let God be true, but every man a liar. And I can give you several verses to show that very thing. Fourthly, the false Christ of modern Arminian free will works man-centered religion died on the cross for everyone in the world. To make it possible for everyone in the world to be saved, but actually doesn't secure anyone's salvation by his death. Think about that. This false Christ loses many who have been saved by him. Oh, wait a minute, I jumped one. We are told that Christ by his death made it possible for all men to be redeemed, made it possible for all men to be justified, made it possible for all men to be saved, but that his death has no efficacy. It has no saving power for anyone until they believe on him. Thus we are informed that the Son of God died in vain for all who perish in unbelief, and though he tried to save them, he failed. What kind of God is that? And I have several verses that can show you that our God died on the cross and sanctified. He sanctified us by his blood. He justified us by his works. He pardoned us forever, taking our sins into the grave, being made sin for us. And then fifthly, the false Christ of the Arminian religion loses many after they have been saved by him, because they do not hang on. They do not hold or preserve to the end. God may have saved you yesterday, but if you don't do these things, you can lose your salvation. Among the heretical Baptists of our day, some do grant the sinner has what has some to be called eternal security. But it is not a security based upon the will of God, the work of God, or the purpose of God in Christ Jesus. It is not a security based upon the blood of Christ or the operations of His Spirit. According to the free willer, all these things are done for all people alike. So if you think about that for a moment, their doctrine of eternal security is actually a declaration and a security based upon the choice and will of men, not the choice and the will of God. Folks, I'm telling you here this morning, the true Christ, the saving Christ, the Christ of the Bible, preserves His chosen, preserves His redeemed, preserves the ones who called out by His almighty grace, so that they cannot fall away and perish at last. We are kept in life. We are kept in grace. We are kept in faith by the immutable power of His will. We are kept by the seal of His Spirit and the perfection of His intercession. Does God intercede for His people? Does the Lord Jesus Christ intercede for His people? Father, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but I pray for them that Thou hast given me. 17th chapter of John. The Lord's Prayer. If Jesus Christ is making intercession for you, you have absolutely nothing to worry about. Jesus doesn't do anything halfway. He's perfect in all things. Turn over to the book of Jude and we'll finish with this. Book of Jude, right before Revelation. Just a small little book. Read with me, if you would, verses 17 through 25. But beloved, remember the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. How they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. Do you realize that's what free will doctrine is, folks? That's ungodly lust. That's telling God Almighty that you will not overpower my free will. That's man taking power into his own hands and saying, the power is mine. You're telling God that He has no power over you. Scriptures tell you differently. These be they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some, having compassion, making a difference, and others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you, what? What is that next word?
Faultless.
I know, we don't see that when we look in the mirror, but God's word says it right there. To present us faultless. That's the good news. That's good news for a sinner like me. To present us faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. When we think of what we are as sinners, saved by the grace of God, when the Lord has revealed what we are to our hearts, giving us a new heart, a heart that loves Him because He first loved us. We can read this last verse with great joy in that heart. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Stand with me if you would, please.